Hey, early risers, thank you for getting up early, worshiping with us today. Really glad for those of you that are in the room. Welcome to those of you that are online as well. Hey, my name is Brian Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here at the Vineyard, and I'm going to be giving the message out of the Bible in just a moment. And where we're going to begin, if you have a Bible or you have an app, is in the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 3 in just a moment. Before we do that, though, I want to add my 2 cents to those of you that were just water baptized. Congratulations. Way to go. Very important step in your spiritual life. And if you're online or you're here in the room and you're a follower of Jesus and yet for whatever reason you've never been water baptized, that's an important next step for you. And so how do you do that here at the Vineyard? Go online, vineyardnorthphoenix.com, take our water baptism class. We want to make sure that you know what the Bible actually teaches about water baptism, and then sign up to be water baptized at our next baptism, which is going to be in, 6 or 7 weeks from now, and then hopefully we'll be celebrating you being water baptized as well in just a few weeks, all right? So, you know, as Americans, we really care a lot about purity these days, don't we? I mean, for example, we want to breathe pure air. We want to eat pure food. We want to drink pure water. We want to work out at pure fitness, you know, or maybe not so much that. But one of the things that seems like we don't really care all that much about is you know, having pure minds. You know, it seems like we're not all that interested in moral purity. In fact, it seems like most people will allow almost anything into their minds. Most people watch just about anything on television, anything streaming, regardless of how perverted it might be. You know, it used to be that you had to go to an adult bookstore in order to get pornography. Today, it's piped right into our homes, right under our mobile devices, 24/7. And as a result of this constant bombardment, we have a huge percentage of our society who are addicted to porn. We have more illegitimate births today than ever before. We have more people with sexually transmitted diseases today than ever before. I mean, we have people involved in all kinds of different lifestyles, living together out of wedlock, same-sex relationships, all kinds of different moral standards, don't we? Well, the Bible actually has a lot to say about this subject. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, God wants you to be holy, so you should keep clear of all sexual sin. Underline all sexual sin. Keep clear of all sexual sin. And then skipping up to verse 7, God has called us to be holy, not to live impure lives. So God wants us to be holy. He doesn't want us to live impure lives. So the question is that really possible? Is it really possible to live in such an impure world that we all live in, and yet still maintain moral purity inside your heart? I'm here to tell you it is possible. It's not easy, but it is possible. And this series we're doing is talking about keys to living a successful life. And one of the keys to living a successful life in God's eyes is being a person who really does their best to live a morally pure life. So, how do we do it? How do we maintain moral purity in a very impure world? I've given you 4 things that will help you to do that. First of all, we need to make a commitment to God's standard of authority in our life. Make a commitment to God's standard of authority in our life. The psalmist says, how can a young man keep his way pure? There's the word pure. And then he answers it, by keeping it according to your word. He's talking to God. By keeping it according to your word. See, if you and I want to maintain moral purity, we have to resolve the issue of what's going to be the standard of authority in my life. On what am I going to base my life? Am I going to make a commitment to God's word as my standard for living, or am I just going to make up my own standard for living? The issue really is, am I more committed to what God says will meet my needs, or am I more committed to what I think will meet my needs? Do I think God knows more about me and more about my life, or do I think I know more about my life? That's really the issue. Well, you know, God says several things in the Bible about moral purity, about sexual relationships that are very, very unpopular these days. God says that sex before marriage is wrong. God says it's a sin. God says that sex outside of marriage is wrong. God says it's a sin. God says that sex with a same-sex partner is wrong. He says it's a sin. God says that when you lust after another person in your heart, it's wrong. God says it's a sin. People say, well, Brian, why does God say all that stuff? Because God knows much more about sex than you and I do. He understands the implications far better than we do. See, the fact is, God has set up certain boundaries in his word about sex, not because he's trying to harm you, but because he's trying to help you. That's why God puts boundaries in there. And the truth is, we are only going to be able to live morally pure lives if we follow God's standards spelled out in the scripture. So one of the questions I get asked a lot as a pastor, well, Pastor, why does God put boundaries? Why does God put parameters around sex? Here's a very simple answer. Because God knows that sex is far more than just physical. So many people these days think sex is just physical. No, God says it's far more than just physical. God says sex is actually a spiritual act, and therefore it has spiritual consequences. And not only that, but sex also has emotional consequences and social consequences, and sometimes sex even has physical consequences. So, why does the Bible say that sex is exclusively reserved for a man and a woman who are committed to each other in marriage? Why does God say that? Because anything outside of that, sex before marriage, sex outside of marriage, sex with a same-sex partner, will eventually have profound negative consequences in your emotions, in your spiritual life, in your relationship with God, and maybe, even in your physical body. See, God puts boundaries around sex because he knows more about it than we do. You know, after the service today, if you were to drive and you were going to get on one of the freeways, the 17 or the 101 or something, and you accidentally started to drive on the off-ramp instead of the on-ramp, and there was a big sign there that said, do not enter. Because there would be, right? If there was a sign, would you get upset at that sign? Would you think to yourself, how dare that sign? I'm an adult. I can make my own choices. Nobody's going to tell me where to drive. No, you wouldn't do that, would you? Because you knew that that sign was there to help you, not to hurt you. That sign was helping you to keep from having a head-on collision with someone. So when God says in his word, hey, I created sex, it was my idea, God says. And it's reserved for a man and a woman in marriage. See, God is trying to help you by saying that, not hurt you. He's trying to help you. And when you ignore what God says about sex, or when you ignore what God says about sexual purity, you're asking for trouble. You're asking for regret. You're asking for problems with self-esteem. You're asking for relational difficulties and all kinds of other things that will begin happening in your life. So as your pastor, I'm challenging you today that the starting point to trying to maintain moral purity in a very immoral world is that you make a commitment to God's standard for living in your life. And I suggest that you make that commitment publicly. You say, well, Brian, what do you mean publicly? Well, if you're married, I would encourage you to say to your husband, to say to your wife something like, I will always be faithful to you no matter what. Regardless of what happens in our marriage, I'm always going to be faithful to you. Why is it important to say it to your spouse? Because that brings security and trust into your marriage. Now, if you're a single person, and when I say single, I mean you've never been married, or you're widowed, or you're divorced. You're a single person. I encourage you and challenge you to say publicly something like, I am not going to have sex until I'm married, or until I'm married again. And I want to challenge you to make that widely known to all of your friends. Now, I know that takes courage. It takes no courage to just follow the crowd, but it takes courage and it takes character to do what God says is right. And I guarantee you that God will bless your life in all kinds of ways if you make that kind of commitment. So the first thing, if I want to maintain moral purity, I have to make a commitment to God's standard of authority in my life. Second thing I need to do to maintain moral purity, I need to take control of my thought life. You say, well, Brian, why is that important? Because every temptation begins in your mind. Every single one. Like the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. God is saying there, your thoughts run your life. So we all need to be very careful what we think about. Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen somebody who's really making a lot of dumb choices in their life and they're really messing up their life? You ever seen somebody do that? If they're here in the room with you right now, don't look at them right now. But yeah, we all know people who are making dumb decisions and really messing up their life. Well, you know what? I want you to know they're messing up their life not because that started with the actions they were taking. It started with their thoughts. See, they were thinking dumb thoughts long before they started making dumb decisions. See, the Bible very clearly says what you think about determines how you feel, and how you feel determines the way you act. So if you want to change your actions in some way, you want to break a bad habit of some kind in your life, then you need to control your thoughts. Now, having a thought is not a sin. Thoughts come into our mind in all kinds of ways. It's what we do with that thought once it's in our mind that determines whether or not it's going to become a sin. Do we do what the Bible says to do in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5? Do we take that thought captive to the obedience of Christ, cast it out of our mind, and try to think about something else? Or do we do what most people do? We expand upon that thought. We fantasize upon that thought. We're not careful about what we do with that thought at all. We just let it run amok in our minds. If you do that, then that thought becomes sin. Now, I think you'd probably agree that affairs and people having sex outside of marriage is pretty rampant in our society today. Would you agree with that? Well, I want you to know, affairs don't just happen. A husband or a wife does not come home and say, I slipped into an affair today. Don't know how it happened. Just slipped into an affair. No. There were little chinks in his armor or her armor all along the way before they ever ended up in bed with another person. There were lots of little, what they thought were small decisions that they made long before they ended up in bed. So how do affairs happen? How does sexual sin actually happen? There are really four steps to this. The first part of sexual sin, trying to get into your life or an affair, is you have to accept sinful thoughts into your mind. You begin thinking things like, man, I wonder what it would be like to be with them sexually. I wonder what it would be like to be married to them. I wonder what it would be like. And then you just keep developing that thought, fantasizing about that thought. And the fact is, there are some of you that are watching online, some of you in this room, you've been fantasizing about somebody you work with. You've been wondering, what it would be, I wonder what it would be like. And you think that it's just harmless. But I'm here to tell you it's not. Because thoughts inevitably begin to produce feelings inside of you. That's why you're thinking the thought. Because it produces feelings of excitement inside of you. And feelings of excitement inevitably lead to actions. So it starts there, accepting sinful thoughts into your mind. And then the next step of an affair happening or sexual sin is you begin emotional, non-physical involvement. This is where you start flirting with someone. Maybe you start making gestures or comments. Maybe you start hinting to them that you might be available. Maybe you start texting back and forth. And then after that goes on for a while, then comes physical involvement. It might start with just a touch on the person's arm or on their shoulder. And then maybe it goes into a hug that lasts a little bit longer than it should. And then eventually maybe a kiss. And then not long after that, you end up in bed. And then after that comes rationalizing your actions. Oh, you know what? It's no big deal. Everybody's doing it. It's not hurting anybody. I mean, what my husband doesn't know is not going to hurt him. What my wife doesn't know, it's not going to hurt her. I mean, after all, I have needs. And we're both adults anyway. You know what God says when we start to rationalize like that? God says, who do you think you're kidding? Who do you think you're kidding? That it's not hurting anybody. What's the solution to this? Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, run! Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. That's how you get out of it. See, long before you ever act in a wrong way, you're thinking in a wrong way. And the way you stop that is by turning your back on what you're thinking about. And that involves a choice. So take control of your thought life. Third part of maintaining moral purity, I need to carefully monitor my media intake. And what I mean by that is that you cannot just indiscriminately allow all kinds of garbage into your mind through movies and streaming and YouTube and TikTok and social media, trashy novels, all of that. You can't just indiscriminately allow every kind of garbage that's out there into your mind and think that you can still live with moral purity. Can't do it. Back to the way it says in Proverbs 15, a wise person is hungry for truth. while the fool feeds on trash. See, the fact is, what you feed your mind is just as important as what you feed your body. You know, how healthy would your body be if all you ate every day was Twinkies and drank Diet Coke? That was your diet. How healthy of a person would you be? You would be very unhealthy, right? Well, it's the same thing with our mind. What we put on in our mind determines how healthy we are in our moral purity. You know, most of what's out these days, online and in movies and on that, the moral equivalent to it is like a Twinkie that you eat. There's very little like nutritional value in most of the stuff that's out. Most of the stuff that's out today is not leading us toward moral purity. Let me give you a few statistics. Over the course of 1 year, television depicts over 14,000 incidences of sex and 23,000 uses of profanity. 91% of all sex portrayed on TV is sex outside of marriage. Sexual intercourse on TV is portrayed 5 times more often between unmarried people compared to married people. And then we wonder why sex is such a casual thing among most people these days, especially young people. Another thing about television and movies and streaming and all that is that sin is always glamorized. You say, what do you mean by that? When people go to bed, you know, on TV or in a movie or whatever, the two people that are going to bed, they don't have warts. They don't have moles. They don't have all kinds of wrinkles all over. You can't smell their bad breath. And all the fat is in the right places, never the wrong places. It's always in the right places. And television doesn't show the results of this kind of sin either. Television never shows you the brokenness or the loneliness or the low self-esteem or the sexually transmitted diseases. Never shows that. If you want to maintain moral purity, you can't just watch and read everything out there. You need to carefully monitor your media intake. And then there's one last step that I want to talk about today to maintain moral purity. We need to minimize the opportunities for temptation. Sounds very easy to do, but so many of us don't do it. All I'm meaning by saying that is, don't put yourself in a situation where you know or you think you're going to be tempted. Like the old saying goes, if you don't want to get stung, stay away from the bees, right? If I have a problem with alcohol, I don't go to the bars so I can snack on pretzels. I find another place to snack on pretzels besides the bar. You know, there are 3 ways that you and I can minimize temptation in our life. The first way is we need to recognize what tempts us. Recognize the situations that tempt you, the situations that get you thinking the wrong kinds of thoughts. And when something puts you in a situation, like it's a particular movie, don't just think to yourself, well, you know, there's a lot of pornography on here, but I can handle it. Don't think, if I click on this website that has porn, oh, it's just a little bit, I can handle it. Oh, it's no big deal if I go around this person at work that I'm really attracted to, I can handle it. That's what most people say. Look at Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, if you think you're standing strong, be careful, for you too may fall into the same sin. You know, a lot of people, a lot stronger than you and I, spiritually, have fallen into sexual sin. So Paul says, you need to be wise. You need to know the early warning signs of temptation so you can bail out early. Recognize what tempts you. Second way to minimize temptation in your life is you need to choose your friends carefully. Choose your friends carefully. You say, well, Brian, what's the big deal? Why do I need to do that? Well, look what the Bible says. The Bible says, do not be deceived. Bad company, bad friends, corrupt good morals. That's just a biblical truth. Bad company corrupts good morals. I know that most of us think it's no big deal, the kind of friends that we have, but it's a huge deal. You know, if I were to do an example and go down to the front row right now and give somebody my hand and say, okay, I want you to try to pull me down into your seat, and I'm going to try to pull you up out of your seat, who do you think's going to win? Well, of course, you know that I would win because I'm the strongest person in the world. So I would be able to pull anybody up. No, it's always easier to pull a person down than it is to pull a person up. It's always easier. And so if you have a bunch of friends in your life who are pulling you down spiritually, you're going to end up falling. You're going to end up walking away from Jesus. So much easier to be pulled down. So choose your friends very carefully. That's one of the reasons why it's so important to be in a small group. Because at least those in the small group, they're people who are trying to live a godly life. We're not succeeding all that well a lot of times, but at least we're trying. So if you need some better friends, check out a small group. And beyond that, for those of you that are married, why do you need good friends as other couples? Because it's a well-known statistical fact that most affairs happen between married couples who are already friends. Two of the partners get together because they're already friends. So that means that if you're married, you better make sure that your closest married friends are as committed to their marriage as you are to yours. Choose your friends carefully. Third way to minimize temptation is establish some protective guidelines. What I mean by that is just think through some common sense rules about what you're going to allow yourself to do and not allow yourself to do with a person of the opposite sex. Look at Paul says in Ephesians 5, immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, avoid every appearance of evil. Maybe you're doing something that's not evil at all, but if it has the appearance to other people of evil, then you're to avoid it. That's what the Bible says. So for me, you know, I set up things in my life decades ago because I did not want to fall into sexual sin. And so I set up certain parameters that I won't allow myself to do with someone of the opposite sex. For example, I never go in a vehicle with a person of the opposite sex unless it's my wife, Thora, or my daughter, Zoe. I just won't do it. Why not? Well, it could be on the up and up, but if you see me driving somewhere with someone of the opposite sex that I'm not married to, it's the appearance of evil. I don't want to make you stumble. I never go to a restaurant and have a meal with someone of the opposite sex if it's just the two of us, unless it's my wife. Again, I want to avoid the appearance of evil. You know, one of the things that I've always done is whenever I email people on our staff, people in our church family, if I have an email with someone of the opposite sex, I always CC someone else on that email. Because I want that person that I'm emailing to know I'm not trying to do anything here. It's usually my wife that I CC on there. It's just parameters to keep myself from being in a situation where I could possibly be tempted. So if you work outside the home, and especially if you work in an office, you probably need to set some boundaries as far as the opposite sex goes in your office. You say, why? Why do we need to do that? Because offices are great places for romance and affairs to begin. You know why? Because when you go to the office, everybody looks nice. Everybody smells nice. Everybody's on their best behavior. When you go home, you kind of let it all hang out, don't you? I mean, you got the beer belly with the t-shirt and holes in it. You know, you're burping, passing gas any old time. And your wife is there with no makeup on and has diarrhea. That's what's going on at home. But when you go to the office, I mean, everybody's looking nice, smelling great, on their best behavior. So set up some standards, some guidelines about how you will relate and not relate to people of the opposite sex at your workplace. It's just for your protection. Now, there's a lot more things that I'm going to talk about later. I don't have time to go through any more today on helpful things that'll help you maintain moral purity. We'll do that next weekend. But let's recap what we talked about today. If I want to maintain moral purity, I need to make a commitment to God's standard of authority in my life. I need to take control of my thought life. I need to monitor my media intake. And I need to do my best to minimize the opportunities for temptation. Now, here's the bottom line. You can live a morally pure life in an impure world. You can. But it's going to take hard work. It's not going to be easy. You're like a salmon swimming upstream against the tide of our culture, because our culture is a very impure culture. But I just want you to know, it is such a great feeling knowing that you're living a morally pure life before God. It's such a great feeling. And it's also a key to living a successful life in God's eyes. But the good news is, you can do this. It's going to take work. It's not going to be easy. You're going to need to make some maybe commitments that you haven't made before or you haven't made in a long time. But you can do this. You really can. Let's pray. Would you just open your heart more to God right now? Holy Spirit of God, would you come and touch each one of us, those who are watching online, those in this room, Lord, whatever decisions, commitments we need to make to you right now, God, would you lay those on our hearts, lay those on our minds? We really do want to live morally pure lives in an impure world, but we need your help. Would you come, Holy Spirit? If something comes into your mind of a commitment you need to make to the Lord or something you need to change, that's the Holy Spirit. He's dropping those thoughts into your mind, into your heart, and you need to just say, okay, yes, Lord, this is what I want to do. You know, for some of you, you need to make a commitment right now that you're going to do your best to start committing to God's standard of authority in your life. Whatever God says in the Scriptures, whatever God says by His Spirit, I'm going to do that. I'm not always going to succeed, but I'm going to do my best to do that. That's where it starts. Maybe the Holy Spirit is convicting you that you need to be a little more monitoring of what you're allowing into your minds through television and streaming, maybe trashy novels, whatever. Maybe you need to say, God, I want to be better at this. Help me. Help me to set up better parameters. Maybe you need to set up some boundaries at your workplace just to keep you out of temptation's way. Maybe there's another commitment of some kind that you need to make to God. Would you just do that right now, just in these last few moments? Holy Spirit, would you come, and as we confess our sins to you, as we turn away from those sins, Holy Spirit, would you wash our hearts and minds from all that junk, all that darkness that tries to penetrate our lives? Would you give us a new start today? Would you wipe the slate clean? Thank you that though our sins are as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool Help each one of us, God, know what it's like to feel like we're living a morally pure life before you. And I pray for this week, Lord, that as we go about our daily activities, that you would bring this to mind and help us continue to make the choices that will help us to live morally pure. You know, I think there's some of you that what the Lord is convicting you of is that there's someone in your life, maybe they don't know about it, but you've been going around them, making excuses to be around them because it's sort of exciting, and you've been wondering, I wonder what it would be like to be with them, and you're heading down that wrong road. You need to stop. The Holy Spirit is pointing that out to you right now because he loves you, and he wants to keep you from blowing up your life, because that will happen. If you keep going down that road, you will blow up your life, and it's never worth it. It's never worth it. So you need to turn around, stop doing it. Maybe you're even in the situation where you're texting, or maybe you're even having a full-blown affair. You need to stop now. God is pointing this out because he loves you, and you need to go home. You need to send one text, say it's over. I'm never going to contact you again, and I don't want you to contact me. You know, I think there's a couple of people, you might be online, you might be in the room, that the Holy Spirit has pointed out to me. I don't know who you are, but I feel like the Lord gave me a couple of names. Who there's someone at your workplace that's kind of, you're like being around them, you've been kind of fantasizing about them, and God is pointing you out because he wants you to nip it in the bud right now. He wants you to stop. He doesn't want you to blow up your life. Somebody named Jennifer, somebody named Joseph or Joe. I feel like the Lord is saying he loves you so much. He's pointing this out to you so that you would turn back. You would turn back. So if that's you, I want to really challenge you as your pastor, turn back. It's not worth it. You know, if you'd like to receive prayer about anything at all, you know, maybe you need a new job, maybe you need healing of some kind, maybe you need deliverance of some kind. Maybe it has to do with something that we've talked about today. Whether you're online or in person, we'd love to pray for you. Before you go, we're going to have a ministry team up here at the front. And if you want to stick around and come to the front, we'd love to pray for you before you go. Those of you that are online, as always, just click on the prayer button, and one of our team members will pray for you. Remember, next weekend, I'm going to continue talking about how to maintain moral purity in your life and mine by giving you some more things that'll be helpful. Before we go, I want to pray for you. So please stand. Whether you're online or in person, please stand. I just want to pray a blessing. Would the ministry team make your way up as I pray? Lord, thank you for showing us in your word how to live a morally pure life. Help us to do that this week, Lord. I pray for those that have made commitments today, God, to you. I pray you'd help them to live those out. And I pray, God, as my friends go, bless each one. Bless them, keep them, cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them. Lift up your favor to them, God, and give them peace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Say hi to some people on your way out. Have a great day. See you soon.